Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The Bible is God's reunion book. It is a family book. From Genesis to Revelation, the opening and the closing, and all the 1,189 chapters, it tells the story like life is, not just as we would hope it to be. But all through the scriptures, God is laying out his hope of how he wished for it to be, committed himself for it to be, and can make it to be through the power of his love. Therefore, in the Bible are all kinds of stories. I remember when Rachel was a teenager, she asked me one night, said, "Dad, tell me a story from the Bible, not just of the good people, but the people who got in trouble." Well, we're in the story of somebody who got in deep trouble, in the story of Gomer and Hosea. It's a story about God's love that is irresistible, in that God's love doesn't let go. God's love is always coming to the rescue, but God's love that's always coming to a rescue tends to be taken for granted. Have you felt taken for granted in your life? And in that sense of being taken for granted, we lose the power of what that love can be. And so God makes it clear to us that we can only know the power of his love, the inclusion of his love, when we open ourselves to be loved by him. Big Bill Lister of Bernie and Hank Williams Sr. and Jr. put it this way: "There's a tear in my beer because I'm crying for you, dear." And that country and Western language is saying of the heart there is pain, and pain brings tears to our eyes. And there's a lot of tear in the beer that Hosea was drinking. It's the kind of tear because he ached for his people who did not love God. He ached for his people that said God's love didn't matter. And he ached for his wife, Gomer, who said to him, "You don't matter either." And so God put together a dramatic story. Gomer was unfaithful. More than unfaithful, she flaunted her adultery. She was called, like in the scripture, a prostitute. Not that she went out and sold her sexual talents for money, but she gave away her sexual life and her heart of unfaithfulness right before the very eyes of Gomer and the eyes of God. And she was proud of it. And it broke Hosea, the prophet's heart. And in the midst of that story, God says, "Pay attention, Hosea. You know what I feel like now. That's exactly how I feel, because that's how the people of Israel are treating me. And that what Gomer is doing to you, and she's doing to herself, is what the people of Israel are bringing on themselves. And it's not sustainable. It won't last. It's going to come crumbling down on them, and the pain of their own sin will bring their judgment. But I have hope. It is this hope of an irresistible love. But it's a hope that people tend to take for granted, as though it's just always going to show up. But let me give you a warning." And so in the opening chapter, the opening verses, Hosea is given this direction. Now, the first child that Gomer will bring into the world, you'll be the father. But the next two, you won't be the father. And I want you to give each of the three children a name. And the name is a sign about with a story of what's going on. And it says in verse 2, "Then I will sow for her myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who are not my people, 'You are my people,' and they shall say that you are my God." So from the second verse of the opening to the closing verse of chapter 2, God is saying, "I want you to name your children, Hosea, Jezreel," which is God sows. It is a sense of God's faithfulness. The northwest part of Israel was a very fertile farming area in Israel then and today. And in that scene of then, it was also one of the capitals for northern Israel, a winter capital. But there arose a king that followed up who wanted to do away with all of the opposition of the previous king. And so he sent out a decree to this town of Jezreel in the valley of Jezreel that all the king's family were to be killed, thinking that Jehu, thinking that that would secure him. And God says, I'll bring judgment on him. Name your first child Jezreel. The second child, call them No Mercy. Lo Ruhamah. No mercy. There's no pity upon them. Because when people aren't willing to come in love and repentance and a change of their heart in their lives to me, they can't receive the power, the mercy I'm wanting to give them. There is a love that will not let go. His love is always coming. But we can only receive the power as we open ourselves for the power to sow itself in our life. And as if that wasn't bad enough, the third child was to be called Lo-Ami, which means not my people. The sense of love having its work and hope in our lives, we have to accept the yes invitation to the grace of God for it to come into our life. Now you may be saying, Pastor Les, this is not really a very uplifting sermon. Well, why is it country and western songs are about broken hearts and broken down pickups and problems in the family? Because it speaks to the hurt and that we have within our lives. And so the hope is here, but it is a hope that has to require our partnership with God. And I'm preaching the message because it's a message of God that we need to hear in our 21st century world. The Hosea lived 8 centuries before Christ. It was a message then that helped prepare the people to know the Messiah would be coming. But now, 2,800 years later, it's a message that we need to hear among our own people. Jezreel, the Valley of Fertility. It was a sense of, look what we can do on our own. We can grow our own crops. We can create our own lifestyle of richness. But if we don't care for the land and care for the people and we make materialism our God, it'll come crashing down on us. So what is love to do? Well, love is a divine mission. It's a divine mission of God. Love is an extension of God into the world. So John 3:16, as we know, is God's extending his very self in the life of his son. We believe in him and will not perish. The God who is love, 1 John 4:18 and 19. The very nature of God is love, and God made us for love. But God made us for love in 3 ways, to be in relationship, to be in passion, and to be in commitment. A matter of the heart is passion. A matter of a relationship with God, each other, and within ourselves. And a matter of commitment, the discipline of love. So love is called to build God's promise in our life. Love is sent on a divine mission to do God's work in our hurting world. That God's love sent out into the world that will not withdraw is a love that will continue to seek to perform the miracle of healing power. But if we turn our back upon the love, then that love is spurned and it can't get into our heart and how we do our life. And it requires for us to embody the message and the meaning of the love. That's what Hosea was to do as a prophet. He was to continue to come to his wife in Gomer and to say, there is a way better. You are more than your woundedness. You are more than your unfaithfulness. You are more than this. And let me show you what God's love and my love for you can mean. Recently, I was helping to facilitate a conference of ministers in Puerto Rico. And just south of San Juan, the capital, is an area called Carolina. And there we met with 2 pastors, Pastors Jesus and Pastor Carlos. They're leading in the recovery work among congregations. Congregations that had worked in a tent for years as their worship space. Finally, they rebuilt a building, and then Hurricane Maria came in 2017 and destroyed it all, as well as people's homes. And we're helping with the recovery work, which is there. They're going as people of hope. They're going as people of hope in a time of despair. They're looking at the destruction that a hurricane caused across that entire island, but looking at a way to build our hope. A member of our church, Gary Martin, who's an engineer, is there working in the San Juan region. We connected while I was there. And the sense of his bringing his talents and his heart commitment to help in that rebuilding project. we're motivated by hope to help in the rebuilding of lives and destruction. And so it is in relationship with people, evangelism, good news sharing, being connected to people. It's not to leave them, even as we don't need to be left in our own unfaithfulness, but that for someone to come and say, pay attention. One of the most awkward scenes I've ever been to for a meal was I was a revival preacher in a town in Missouri, and the family invited me to have the meal right after Sunday morning worship. And there at the meal was the father and the mother and their four children around the table and the pastor of the church. Except the story was this, that as I was told to me, that he was living with his girlfriend, his mistress, and he would come back and visit his family back in the house, the home. So right in the middle of a meal was utter deception and contradiction, hypocrisy. And the call was with the hope for a change in the father, the husband's heart, to see that what he was doing was destructive to him and to them and to all around. It reminds me of, well, Jim Nagowski, a friend of mine who's a scholar, now teaches at Baylor, wrote a commentary on the book of Hosea, and he was kind enough in the foreword, the introduction, to say that he was inspired by several pastors, and one of them was me, and which I had inspired him to stay connected to people and people's stories, stay connected into the hearts of what's going on with people. And so that's where we find this love of God at work. I remember walking into the walnut-paneled office of a member of our church, and his... he was having an affair, and it was known, it was out. And I sat in his office, and I called him by name. And I said, you're better than this. Your wife deserves more than this. And your mistress should not be wrapped up in your selfishness. Stop it. And by God's grace and judgment, he did. So what would it look like for Hosea and for Gomer, for this vicious cycle to stop? Because she was caught in the deception and the lie that we can get caught in the deception and lie, and that is that sin is okay, that sin has no consequences, and that sin leaves us no choice. That the vicious cycle of living in the deception and a lie is just that. It's a hard message, but it's a message of hope. If God can win going into the most difficult circumstances in our hearts, your heart and my heart, if he can win in the most treacherous parts of our human nature, then God truly has the power to create a transformation. Let me give a different kind of example. A friend of mine allows me to tell the story without using his name, but he is 1 year sober. He's 1 year sober because what he realized is that after being arrested, that he was in utter agony in his life, and that he smelled like a gutter. And he was better and more than that as he went into a recovery center. He tried to recover before, but something was different. A touch of God came upon his life in this recovery. And a year later, he is in successful recovery. Suffering from COPD, he 8 months ago stopped smoking. He realized there was a choice that he could make by the grace of God, the hope of God, the promise of God. He could choose differently. And so Hosea, turning attention from his wife Gomer, speaking to the larger country of Israel, said to them, now I desire mercy. That's what God is saying. You're bringing me all kinds of offerings of your materialism, your sexual addictions, your stuff in this world. And what I desire for you is mercy, not those kinds of sacrifices that are false. I desire for you to know me, rather than these burnt offerings that you give of animals in the midst of a worship time. And the gift of God's hope and promise is that he was coming to say, there is another way, there is a better way, there is a different way. A part of evangelism, part of what we've been sharing in the life of the church, is doing both the evangelism for seekers, sharing the good hope of Christ into the lives of people who are searching out for that Christ, but part of it is recovery evangelism. Part of it is going to the hearts and the lifestyles of people, helping them to see that they're better than what they're currently living. So what was their choice? What was Gomer's choice, who as a woman was really a reflection of what was occurring in the country? What was Israel's choice? Well, they can make a decision that she could let herself be healed by divine love. The people could let themselves be healed by divine love. Have you let yourself be healed by the love of God? Another friend of mine, I got to meet just before he went to federal penitentiary, baptized him by new faith in Christ just before he went off for years of serving his time, and visiting him while he was there, and upon his being released from prison, then a group from the church would go with him to certain AA meetings and help to mentor him in a recovery. And now he's a dad, and he's married, and he's a dad. He's working, and he's in his new life. And what he says as he looks back on that early time is that it was a kind of love by people who would go to him and stay with him, reminding him that God's love will win in his life if he would trust God's love to get at the source of the addictions and underneath those addictions to get them dealt with by the healing power of God's love so that his wants and his desires in the world would change. And so it was that Gomer, as an individual, the country of Israel, as a people, could trust that she was more than a prostitute. She was more than her unfaithfulness. There was a vision that God had for her. I want you to see you like I see you. I want you to know the promise which I have for you and not the promise that you are throwing away. That she could accept that she was a woman made to win by God in this world, if she would choose that better way, that different way. Hasn't it made a difference for you when someone loved you enough to come into your life and to say, you need help, I can tell it. How can I help you? And your heart was trusting in the moment to say, you're right. I've been trying to get out of this jam all on my own, and I can't do it. And then you say to them, let me pray with you, but let me walk with you. Let me connect you with the people that will walk with you in life so that you can get to that better way by the grace that God will bring to you. That's recovery evangelism. It's the hope and promise of what our world desperately needs. Now, I understand there's a football game later today. Well, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs aren't in it. I would have pulled for them. New Orleans Saints aren't in it. I would have pulled for them. So all I'm doing is pulling for a good game today. And more than a billion people in our world are going to be watching the game. Well, they're going to be watching the commercials. They'll be watching the halftime show. And some will be watching football. And it's an incredible cultural event, isn't it? The kind of power to capture attention. And I'm going to be watching at least the first half of the game. Imagine the people so caught up in the transforming love and the power of God that they are caught up in the bigness of what God can do. And in the Super Bowl drama of whether they're going to drown like Gomer or be resurrected like God's hope for Gomer, it's at stake down to the two-minute drill in the red zone, moving towards the last play of the game. What will happen? And the drama is a choice. Would she let God's love hold on to her so that she could hold on in life? Will you let God's love hold on to you so you can hold on in life? But then Will you let God's love hold on to you so that you can hold on to life and then help others hold on in life? Because you have shared the love of God by how you love them. I'm a person of hope because I believe in resurrection. I'm a person of hope because the last verse in the book of Hosea says, I'm working that my wisdom will change the people of Israel. But we live in a dangerous day. And it can't be taken for granted that there's just a rescue around the corner. The rescue will come because there are people willing to make the difference by the love of God in a world that suffers like Gomer. Let's pray. Lord, we are yours and we're grateful for the gift that you give us. And so we come and we worship you, recognizing that you are the source of all good blessings. You're the promise of hope within our life. And we need you. We need you. Through Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.